You're listening to the Church on the Move Roswell podcast. We hope this message inspires you, encourages you, and challenges you to take your next step with Jesus. Thanks for listening. Let's check it out.
Go with me to Luke chapter 6. We're going to look at 47 to 48. It's really interesting that they sang that song. We haven't sang the last song we sang in a long time. And they brought that back, and they didn't have any clue that I had these scriptures in my message, which is always crazy how that works out, how the Holy Spirit works that out. But it says, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. Next verse. He is like a man building a house who dug deep. Everybody say, dug deep. And the foundation, and laid a foundation on the rock. I'm going to stop right there, talk about digging deep. You know, I've been part of many construction projects personally and as the pastor of this church, multi-million dollar construction projects. And this is what I know, that the bigger the building, the bigger thing you're going to build, the deeper you have to dig. If you've ever been in a big city and seen a skyscraper being built, like they're about to build an 80, 100 story, whatever it is, skyscraper, man, you don't want to fall down in that hole. That thing's deep. It's stories deep. And the deeper they dig, the more foundation they pour, the more piers they have to put in, and the stronger that foundation is, and the bigger and deeper it is, the bigger the building that's going to be built. And so, you know, part of walking through the wilderness and going through difficult times in our lives, whether we put ourselves there or God has led us there. And I just want to remind you, I say this every time because I want you to remember, if you put yourself there, there's always a way out. And that's to repent, that's to change. Change your heart and mind and go a different direction. God will forgive you and he'll still walk you through and walk you to the other side of it, to victory. He'll still, even if you put yourself there, he'll walk you through. But a lot of times, God leads us through these wilderness experiences. And if he's leading you through it, he's building something in you, and he wants you to dig deep. Dig deep into your relationship with him. Dig deep into the word and allow him to refine and grow and build you up, because he's building this foundation in you so he can build something really, really big on it. Some of you are thinking right now, gosh, I've gone through so much. Man, I must be building the tallest building in the world right now. That's what this foundation feels like. Well, then so be it. I said, so be it. You know, God's called all of us to have an impact on other people's lives. You know, we've been led into, in a lot of areas, not every area, but in a lot of churches, we've been led to consumerism Christianity, where we come to church just saying, what can the church do for me? And, you know, I've seen this time and time again over the years, people who just take. Every time they're like that, they always leave when you say no to them. The first no you say, they take off. First time so-and-so, I don't show up, or someone else doesn't show up that they think should show up, or they don't get a counseling appointment with so-and-so, or we don't help them buy this or pay this or pay their electric bill for the next time, or this doesn't happen or that doesn't happen, they always leave. Because they've been taught that the church exists to serve them instead of the church existing to serve him. The church exists to serve Jesus and to serve one another. So there is an element of that, but we shouldn't come to church asking what the church can do for us. If you're a mature Christian, you should be asking, what can I do for the body of Christ? To honor God, to serve God, to bless others. Because we should be maturing to a place where we trust God to take care of us. He said, if you put my kingdom first, I'll add everything you need. And so that's usually the struggle between flesh and spirit, is we want to put ourselves first instead of the kingdom of God first. But that's what we're really called to do. That's a true disciple, is someone that says, I'm following you, Jesus. You're first in my life. You're first in every area of my life. Giving's not a big deal to me. I said, giving's not a big deal to me. I was taught very early on by Pastor Swan sitting right here, who led me to Jesus, who prayed with me to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Back again, and I said, I've told him a long time ago, every time he's in the room and I'm ministering, I'm going to acknowledge the one who led me to Jesus. And so I'll do it every time. I don't know if that gets old to you, but it'll never get old to me. Because Jesus saved my life the day I showed up at his church. Thank you. He said it never gets old. But I'm so grateful for that. But he also taught me how to serve in the church and how to tithe and taught me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how to read my word and the spirit of faith. Man, he just began to pour things into me. And man, giving just is like, oh, God says to tithe and give. I'm going to do that. God says to serve. Okay, where can I serve? And they looked at me and said, well, okay, we'll let you usher. I had a lot of issues I had to overcome, but they let me usher, and they really did it because I didn't have anybody else. He just said, that's true. It's like, okay, if you want to, we'll let you. You know, I still had a lot of issues, but I showed up and ushered. I was faithful. They made me the head usher. In my early 20s, I was leading men in their 60s that were more than capable, but they said, when he asked them, they said they pointed at me because, no matter what was going on in my life, I was loyal and I was faithful. And I showed up and I served and I realized that I got saved at church. So, man, it's like I owe Jesus Christ and his bride the rest of my life. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing now. Because I owe my life to Jesus and his bride, the body of Christ, the church. And so I don't have any issues serving in the church. I've never not served in the church. You know, Julie and I were married, and we weren't in ministry, but she served in the nurseries. I was an usher. I mean, we just did stuff, man. We just served. We showed up to serve. We didn't show up asking, oh, man, what can we do? What can the church do for us? We showed up and said, God, is this my church? Yes, it is. Let's go. Here's my tithe. Here's my service. Here's my time. Here's my effort. Here's my prayers. Here's everything. I'm in. That's what he wants from every Christian, man, just to be in. And you know what? It's not that we didn't have issues and problems. We had stuff. Julie had more stuff than I did, but no, she didn't. I had a lot more stuff. But, you know, it wasn't perfection they were looking for, thank God. It was just a heart to serve they were looking for, a heart to honor God, a heart to grow. And we grew through all these circumstances and situations. You know, I've told this story many times, but it bears repeating every time. When Julie and I had marriage problems when we were first married, I tried in the flesh to fix it multiple times. I tried every strategy I knew to fix her. She tried every strategy she knew to fix me. And none of it worked until one day I came home. We weren't even talking. We'd gotten so bad that we could hardly say hello and goodbye to each other without arguing. We were at a point where we were arguing over everything, even little things that didn't matter. So we just stopped. I just said, I'm not arguing anymore. She said, I'm not arguing anymore. So we just barely talked to each other, just crossing like strangers in the house, roommates that didn't like each other. And then I said, I'm going to dig deep. And I went in a small closet, moved all the shoes and clothes to one end, got in that little sliding door closet, and I just said, I'm in here every moment I'm home until this is resolved, Father. I dug deep. I was only in there 3 weeks. And then we tried for almost 2 years and couldn't fix it in the flesh. But when I started digging deep in the spirit, fixed it in 3 weeks. I'm so bow-legged and I can't kick myself in the butt, but if I could, I would have. I'd have kicked myself and said, dadgummit, what are you doing? 3 weeks. We went almost 2 years. And we walked by each other in the living room after 3 weeks of prayer. After 1 week of prayer, she started praying. So she'd been praying 2 weeks. I'd been praying 3 weeks. We're digging deep, thinking, seeking God. And God's not dealing with me about her. He's dealing with me about me. And he's dealing with her about her. And I remember this so distinctly. We walked by each other and I could see something. There's a different atmosphere on us, a different atmosphere in a home. And we looked at each other and I said, hi. She said, hi. And I kind of looked at her and she looked at me and we stopped and we had a conversation right there, apologized to each other and never looked back again. Going on 34 years. My zipper's down. Sorry. My wife just said, your zipper's down. I don't have, man, I need that pulpit again that covers you up. This don't do the trick for this body. Sorry, guys. Sorry. I'm old. I'm 61 now. You know, it's stuff you do. You don't care either. You just kind of like, but anyway, shoot, that went on the internet right there, man. Pastor Swan told me to do that as a joke. No, I'm kidding. Got to be able to laugh at yourself, right? But, I've lost all where I was. No, I was talking about digging deep. But it was amazing that how in 3 weeks' time, just digging deep, man, just changed everything. And so when you're walking through the wilderness, one of the great lessons, if you don't remember anything else, is dig deep in your word. Dig deep in your relationship with God. Let him deal with your heart. Let him help you overcome. Amen? Let him speak to you because he'll walk you right through the wilderness. He'll walk you through it. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because God is with me. His rod and his staff will comfort, guide me, protect me, do all those things. And so, man, guys, we got to dig deep into the word of God and dig deep into our relationship and let him dig deep inside of us because he's building something. He's building a foundation that we can build masterpieces on, man, that we can build skyscrapers on. We can build a family on, a home on. We can change generations. God's a generational God. He wants to change generations of your family through you. He's changed generations of my family through my brothers and I, my sister. He's changed generations that we weren't serving the Lord. There was not a man in generations that we knew of that had served God. Not a generations that had served God. Now we got generations, three generations of Smotherman men serving God. That was worth it alone, just to see that change. So we need to learn that when we're walking through these difficulties, these dry seasons, this unknown territory, man, we need to learn to dig deep because he's building something special. What did the song say? When the storms come, we'll stand because my house is built on you, Jesus. A firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. That's what he wants us to learn when we're walking through these seasons, to trust him, to trust him, to be loyal with our mouth, our heart, our imaginations, and our thoughts. I prayed for years, God, teach my heart to be loyal. Why? Because Romans 8:28 says, I'll turn around all things for your good for those who love me and are called according to my purpose. Let me tell you something. If you love him, you're loyal. Who you love, you're loyal to. If you love God, then you're loyal to God. And he wants to teach us how to be loyal. And he teaches us in the wilderness. He refines us in the fire to make us pure gold, more special than we've ever been. Like we talked about last week, vessels of honor that he can pour his spirit into and through. Whether you just impact one generation of your family or 10 generations or a whole group of people at your home, whether you impact 10 people, 50 people, 100 people, or 1,000 people, or 10,000 people, or a whole nation. God wants to use our lives. He wants to partner with our life in order to impact people and grow the kingdom of God so that more and more people go to heaven than they do to go to hell. I love what Pastor Tim always says. He has a job to do in the youth department and youth ministry. As long as Satan has a bigger youth group than he does, he's got work to do. And that's how, that needs to be our attitude. That's not how we need to operate. We need to operate that way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, It says this. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. The therefore is there because it's referencing what was above this. Paul is teaching the church of Corinth about the Hebrew children who fell in the wilderness and the mistakes that they made. He's giving them a history lesson of Israel. And then he says, okay, now we're going to shift into the now. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Next verse. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Otherwise, man, guys, we have more in common than we think. All of humanity's been tempted with the same stuff. Greed, pride, sexual sin, jealousy, envy. You know, you name the sin. It's common to all of us. You know, when people tell me, no one understands me, I'm like, are you kidding me? I heard a story just like yours last week that was 10 times worse. There's always someone that has experienced what you've experienced. It's common. We have a commonality to humanity that we need to understand that Satan hasn't changed. Satan has, even though technology has changed and industry has changed, but Satan hasn't changed. Just like God hasn't changed, Satan hasn't changed. His same temptations he had 2,000 years ago, he has now. So it's common to all of us, but God, I love this, but God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And then in verse 14, it says this, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I think that's interesting. He goes right to idolatry. A lot of times we find ourselves in the wilderness because we're being tested. We're being tested about things in our life that we might esteem higher than God. And we will be tempted to esteem them even higher or take on more idols when we're going through the wilderness. We'll be tested and tempted all the time at the same time. Now, God says here, and this is what I really want to point out to you, that he says you won't be tempted beyond what you're able to handle. Guys, testing and temptation, growth comes to all of us. But if you can't pass the test or won't pass the test, there'll not be another test. God will keep giving you the same exact test because he cannot promote you because we can't handle the temptation. Some people haven't succeeded, haven't been promoted because you can't handle the temptation. I've seen people recently get promoted and get blessed and get in leadership. I'm telling you, they were great servants of God until they became a leader. Now they're haughty. You can't teach them anything. I mean, they're haughty, unteachable. They know everything now that they got a title. It's amazing some of the switch. I mean, they're not passing that test of leadership and being able to stay humble and teachable. Man, he's not going to move you beyond that because we can't handle the temptation. We can't handle the test. So we got to be able to handle what we're handling now. If we can't overcome this, we won't go to any other level. You've heard the statement, new level, new devil. There's truth to that. The temptation comes at higher levels. Just like we've talked about with Jesus, that Satan offered him all the kingdoms of the earth because he was in control of all of them. It was a true temptation because he could. He didn't offer you and I. I don't know anywhere in history where he offered someone all the kingdoms of the world. We might not be able to handle just one kingdom. Some of us can't handle our homes, that kingdom. But if we can pass those tests of temptation and the tests of God and the trials we go through, if we can pass them, then God will take us to new levels. And you might say, well, I don't want to face anything else. Well, then you're going to limit what God does in you and through you. And that's your choice. But I don't want to limit anything God is doing. There's too much at stake. Man, I attended a church off and on for years with my mom, and then I just quit going. That would have let me go to hell. Not one time did they present the real gospel message to me, not once. They talked great about church history, you know, all this theology, but they never presented salvation. The youth group went on ski trips and did all this fun stuff. not one thing about Jesus in it. And if I would have died, and I could have, the way I was living, the way I was partying and doing stuff, if I would have died, I would have gone to hell and they'd have let me. Man, I have a revelation of hell, guys, that you need to get it. Because then you'll change your priorities and you'll make God's kingdom first. Because you want everybody you know to go to heaven. Hell is forever. It's awful. It's lonely. It's agony. There's no hope. There's no hope. There's no mercy. It's forever. And that needs to sober us up and help us to realize, hey, the momentary trials and tribulations and stuff I'm going through right now, it is just momentary. Because I'm going to trust God and be loyal to God in this. I'm going to speak God's word and a lot of people go through stuff, they're like, I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel good. I don't feel like praising God. Oh my goodness. You praise God for two feelings you have, when you feel like it and when you don't. You praise God. You lift your hands and praise Him anyway. I understand there's great hurt and pain in life, but man, that shouldn't stop us from praising God. Because it could be a lot worse. You could go to hell instead of heaven. That's what's worse. And that's not even comparable. I don't even like to use the word worst. I've seen it. I can't compel you enough. You know, let's get our priorities right. Amen? And let's focus on the King. And then He said He'll take care of you. All the things you desire, if you delight in Him, He said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. If you'll commit your ways to me, He will bring them to pass. If we'll just trust Him. We just need to trust Him that He'll do it. Because He said He'll do it. And that scripture on idolatry, a lot of times that's why we're going through things, is to get idols out of our life. So that we realize what's really important is my relationship with God. What's really important is how I serve Jesus. What's really important is His plan, His destiny, His purpose for my life, because I know it's a good one. And we should all desire to want to live that out. If you're down and out all the time, I'm telling you, God can't use you because you can't get past yourself. You got to get past self. You know, I've heard leader after leader from all the way back to the Roman days to current times that until you conquer yourself, you can't conquer anything else. And so God wants to teach us to conquer self so we can live for Him. And then He said, I'll just start pouring out my blessings on you. I'll pour out all the tools you need, all the things you need to accomplish my will on earth. I'll take care of you. If you take care of my business, I'll take care of your business. You make my business priority number one, I'll make your business priority number one. That's what He says. We want to look at the last temptation of Jesus, and then I want to tell you a story, but look at this in Luke 4, verse 1. We're going to look at this again. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. A lot of scriptures say immediately. He was immediately led. I mean, guys, He gets baptized. The Holy Spirit descends like a dove. God speaks to Him. And then He gets up and is led. And that word led really is impelled. Impelled to go. When we think of impelling, a lot of times we think of a stabbing. But it's like Jesus, when He impelled demons to come out, it means to be driven. Like, I gotta go. So Jesus comes out of that water, and the Holy Spirit's like, we gotta go. Where are we going? The wilderness. So He gets up, and he's boogieing, man. He's like, I gotta go. And He's going by Himself. He's like, I'm going, and I'm going by myself. And he's compelled. He's impelled. He's gotta go. And he goes, he marches, he's directed into this wilderness experience, and he's tempted for 40 straight days. And we looked at the first two temptations and what that was about. Let's look at the third one. In the wilderness, this is what's happening to Jesus. So in verse 9, it says this. Then He brought Him to Jerusalem, set Him on the pinnacle of the temple. Now, the pinnacle of the temple overlooks the Kidron Valley, is what it says. And so the top of the wall to the bottom of the valley is 450 feet. About 45 stories high. So it's a leap. You jump 45 stories without a parachute, even with a parachute, you might die. But you're going to die, you jump 45 stories, unless God tells you to, and God didn't tell him to. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. Once again, Satan questions his identity and then questions whether or not God will really protect him. Will God protect you? Because he says, he quotes Psalms 91, just part of it, just a portion of it. He quotes Psalms 91, which he says, go ahead and go to the next scripture. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. Now, he leaves out part of it because Satan's the ultimate proof texter. That's how you know when someone is about to deceive you, whether it's a contract or a book or the Bible, is that they're taking scriptures out of context and only quoting a portion and a part instead of the whole scripture where you can see. I always tell you, have 20/20 vision. Read 20 scriptures above and 20 scriptures below. Always look at the context in which I am preaching. Check it out for yourself. Amen? Always check it out for yourself. But he quotes just a portion of this scripture. He leads out the part that said God will, he will guard you in all your ways. And so he leaves the portion out and he's tempting Jesus to prove who he is. Jesus doesn't have to prove who he is. He knows who he is. When you know who you are, you don't have to prove it. People say stuff about me. I used to defend myself all the time. I don't even do it. I'm like, you know what? Jesus said children is known by its, wisdom is known by its children. I just say, you know, judge my fruit. Just judge my fruit. And it won't all be perfect, but man, a lot of it's really good. And so judge my fruit. I'm not going to defend myself anymore. I don't want to defend myself. I know who I am in Christ. I'm a blood-bought child of the Most High God, and I love him. I'm not perfect at serving him, but I love him. And I want to be perfect at serving him. My heart is perfect towards him, even though my flesh and thinking might not always be. Amen? And so when you know your identity, you don't have to prove it. And so Satan's saying, if you are, prove that you are by jumping off. And don't trust God, and don't trust that you know who you are. But Jesus responds with Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16, and he says this. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massa. So he's talking, he's referencing the children of Israel again and saying, you demanded water from God and you put God to the test. And he's saying, you shouldn't tempt or test God. God tests us. He never tempts us, but he tests us. We don't test him. And so, he proves that he trusts in God and is loyal to the Father and will not yield to the flesh to solve a problem. He will not take a shortcut to prove who he is. He's not taking a shortcut. Because if he was to jump 450 feet and land like, you know, a superhero, that three-point stand thing they do, if he did that and stood up, everybody'd go, yeah. Wow, he's somebody. But he's not doing that. He don't have to prove. He knows. He knows he's the Son of God. He knows he's the Messiah. He knows he's the Savior, and he trusts God. He don't have to put God to the test. Amen? But he passed the test. Man, we also know that one of the things we've learned through this time is not only do we have to dig deep, we have to begin to speak the word to the circumstances. We have to begin to speak. I believe, therefore I speak. We have to begin to speak the word to the circumstances. Speak the word to the test and speak the word to temptation. You can't let Satan do all the talking. Jesus just proved that. You better do some talking new too, and you better know your word. Because he quotes the word several times to Jesus. And Jesus has to quote the word and correct him all three times. He's correcting him all three times with the word. All out of Deuteronomy. And so we need to know how to correct Satan and correct temptation and correct the test. We need to know how to speak the word to the test and the trial. I'll trust God. I'll be faithful. I'm going to allow him to teach me to be holy as he is holy. I'm going to be holy. I'm going to do what's right in these circumstances. I'm going to be a good and faithful servant no matter what comes my way. Because there's something coming, and that's called victory. Victory's coming. You know, Joseph was sold into slavery after having a dream of being in authority over his brother and his brothers and his father. And then we know he sold into slavery for 10 years. And then he's digging deep and trusting God. He gets promoted. And then Potiphar's wife, the captain of the guard, that he's his master's wife, starts trying to seduce him over and over again, then gets so angry, she tries to rape him. Tries to rip his clothes off, and Joseph runs from her, and she rips his coat off, and then cries, rape. I'm like, well, hold on. You have his clothes. He doesn't have your clothes. Who raped who? But he gets a life sentence in prison. Listen, most of the time it'd be a death sentence, but I believe Potiphar knew he was innocent. So he got a life sentence. Then the captain of, Potiphar's a captain of the guard. There's another captain of the guard over the prison. He must have said something to him because he immediately in the first year promotes Joseph to be the head of the prison. He runs into a butler and baker of Pharaoh. I'm going to make this short. He runs into him and interprets their dreams because he sees they're sad. You know, Joseph didn't allow himself to be bitter. He doesn't gripe. He doesn't complain. That story always challenges me because I can't find one gripe and complain. I'd have been like, when I was that young, I'd been like, man, this is awful. This is terrible. What are you doing? Who do you think you are? I serve you. You give me a dream and then I'm a slave for 10 years. Then I get sentenced to life in prison. Oh, fooey on all this. I don't care if the butler and baker are sad. I'll kick them when they're down. I don't care less. But not Joseph. He's a young man and he's honoring God and he has a gift of interpreting dreams. He knows it. He knows it. So he interprets their dream. He blesses the butler. The baker's interpretation, not much of a blessing. He gets hung. But the butler gets set free in 3 days and then forgets about him for 2 more years. Yet what does Joseph do? He passes the test and the temptation. The temptation to despair, the temptation to give up and quit, the temptation to run from God and say, I'm not going to church, I'm not reading my Bible, I'm not serving God, I'm not praying, I don't care. He passes the whole test of frustration and anger, disappointment that we've all felt, but he doesn't give in to it. He pursues God. He digs even deeper. And then in one day, I don't know if it was day 13 years in a day, but there was a day that everything turned around. And he said in Genesis 50 to his brothers, you meant this for evil, but God, my God, turned it all around for good to save many, to save many. And he saved not just the nation of Israel, he saved nations from starvation. See, God was building a foundation in Joseph to build something great on. I love this. My wife sent me this. It's the last thing I'm going to say. The Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Year 40, 41, they walked in the promise. Goliath taunted Israel 40 days. Day 41, David took his head. Jonah preached a message of repentance to Nineveh for 40 days. Day 41, they repented, and on day 41, God relented and didn't destroy the city of over 100,000 people. Jesus fasted 40 days and was tempted 40 days. On day 41, Satan fled. Jesus appeared 40 days to the disciples. On day 41, he ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father forever and ever and ever. Your day 41 is coming. Your day is coming when, if you'll just stick with God, trust God, pass the test of the wilderness, pass the test of trial, pass the test of temptation. Keep on plugging away. Keep falling forward. The Bible says, though a righteous man falls 7 times, he rises again and again and again. He just keeps going. When I would attend that church, I don't know how many times I came in hungover, but I never missed a Wednesday or a Sunday. I didn't care how many times I fell. I just kept showing up until I got freedom. I was determined to not quit. I was determined. I knew God could help me overcome anything because Jesus is the ultimate overcomer. And he's given us a victory. And I knew I had it. I just had to walk to it. And so I want to encourage you, don't give up and don't give in. Walk through the wilderness. Learn all you can. Dig deep into your relationship with God. Begin to speak the word, praise and thank him all the way through it. And you'll come out better than you've ever been. You'll be feasting in the presence of your enemies. And surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Come on, let's praise God. He's so faithful. He's so true. God, you are faithful. Thank you, Father. You're faithful to us. Listen, every eye closed here and online, I'm going to thank you for those that are online watching. But I also want to say to you, if you live in another city, please attend a local church. If you live in our city or around here, please attend this church. Unless you can't attend, man, we need you. You need to be part of the body of Christ. You need to be serving and being part of and being served. Come on. Now, if you can't and you're homebound, we get it. We love you. Thank you for watching us. But I want to say this to everyone online and everyone in this room. If you're not right with God, this is your day. This is the day of salvation. This is your day 41 that things begin to turn around in your life. This is your 41 day. Stop walking in the wilderness and come out of it. In the barren, in the dry, and the defeat and failure, the disappointments and the frustrations, the anger and the depression of this world. Run to Jesus. He has open arms. He loves you. He already proved he loved you. He died for you and me, all of our sins. He did it because he loved us. He said, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He had a joy not in being beaten and torn apart and dying. He had a joy in saving our lives. He wants to save your life today. But it's your choice. He will not impose his will on you. He offers it as a gift, his love, his forgiveness, his lordship, his leadership. He surrendered all to save our lives. He's asking us to surrender all to him to be saved and to help others be saved. If today's your day, you've never prayed and you want to pray, first prayer I ever prayed was at that church to receive Jesus as Lord. I didn't know how to pray. They led me in a prayer. I was so grateful because I had no idea how to pray. If that's you, you're just like so many of us in this room. Let's pray right now and get this right. Let's pray right now and receive Jesus as the Lord of your life, your Savior, your God, your Messiah, the one who gives life and abundant life in this life and the next in heaven. If you've never prayed, let's pray right now. Now, if you've had prayed and you've fallen, I prayed this prayer so many times, I just wasn't going to quit. And you need a next time. It's not your first time, it's your next time. Come on, get back up. Run home. That's what I did. I ran home every time. Run home. So whether it's your first time or your next time, I'm going to do two things. I'm going to count to three. And online, send us a message saying, I'm praying for the first time or the next time. In this room, just lift your hand up high and say, be bold. Say, it's me. I'm going to get right with God today. I mean it. It's heartfelt. I'm going to get right with God. And then right after that, we're just going to all pray together right where you're seated, right where you are online. So here we go. One, two, three. Raise your hand and say, it's me. Praise God. Man, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, wow. So many. Thank you. I can't even. Thank you all. God bless you for raising your hand. wanting to pray. We're going to pray with you right now. Those online, pray with us too. I don't care if it's live today or it's Thursday next week. It's if that's you. If God's dealing with you, pray with us right now. So say this with us and just be sincere, those who raised your hand. The rest of us are going to pray with you. So let's all say this together. God, I believe you are God and God alone. And you love me. You sent Jesus to die for my sins. You raised him from the dead, and he's alive. And by his blood, his holy blood, I ask your forgiveness for all my sins. And I receive a full pardon right now. And I say to you, Jesus, you are the Lord Jesus Christ of my life. I surrender my life to you. I receive the Holy Spirit, and I depend on your word to live this life that you gave me today to the full until I see you in heaven. Thank you. In Jesus' name. So be it. Amen. Come on, let's thank God. Come on, let's thank him.
Thanks for listening today. If you'd like to find out more about Church on the Move, like our service times, or how you can connect with us, you can visit cotmroswell.com.